Welcome to the Where Do Gays Retire podcast, where we help you in the LGBTQ plus community find a safe and affordable retirement place. Join Mark Goldstein as he interviews others who live in gay-friendly places around the globe. Learn about the climate, cost of living, healthcare, crime and safety, and more. Now, here's your host, Mark Goldstein.
Today, we journey to Santa Fe, New Mexico, with our guest, Perry McCrill. We'll tell you a little bit about Perry. Perry was born and raised in a small town in Iowa. According to his dad, the population was 600, if you count the dogs and cats. He received 2 degrees, a pharmacy and biology from Drake University in Des Moines, Iowa. After graduation, he moved to Dallas to begin his career as a pharmacist. After 3 years, he moved to Baltimore to work on his master's degree at Johns Hopkins University. He earned a master's degree in information technology management. In 1999, he met a man and moved in with him in Washington, D.C. In January of 2005, they came to Santa Fe. They fell in love with the energy and flavors and the kindness of the people in Santa Fe, and they decided that they should buy a vacation house and retire someday in Santa Fe. In 2008, they bought a house on the west edge of Santa Fe. In 2011, his husband's jobs changed, and they decided to sell their house and move from D.C. So they landed in Santa Fe full-time in January 2012. They added on to the original house and have been enjoying their home ever since. They enjoy food and drinks, restaurants, and all of the amazing art and cultures of Santa Fe. They're into dogs, wine, and green chili. What's not to like with dogs, wine, and green chili? My goodness. So we'll talk about Santa Fe. We'll give you an overview as a retirement destination for the LGBTQ community and otherwise. We'll talk a little bit about the history and culture of Santa Fe, the lifestyle in Santa Fe, real estate in Santa Fe, health and wellness, community and social life, and we'll recap everything for you at the end. So, Perry, I welcome you to the podcast. Thank you so much for your time and coming, and welcome.
Good morning, Mark. Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate this. I love Santa Fe. I welcome the opportunity to speak about my new hometown and my new lifestyle.
Excellent. So, Perry, tell the audience where you moved. You said you moved from D.C., right?
Yes.
And you moved to Santa Fe. How long have you been living in Santa Fe now?
We moved here full time. We bought a house in 2008 and did the vacation house, try to get out here for a long weekend once a month. But we actually moved here full time in January of 2012.
So you're resident pros,
yes,
of Santa Fe at this point.
Yes, yes.
So tell us geographically, where is Santa Fe in New Mexico?
So if you look at New Mexico, it's essentially a square with some bumps on the bottom edge. Albuquerque is the biggest city, and that's kind of right in the center of the big square. If you meander about 60 miles north and a little bit east, that's where you're going to find Santa Fe. Santa Fe is nestled kind of in a little valley between different mountain ranges. It's always been a very spiritual place for the natives who lived here before us. The connection to Albuquerque is an interstate. The speed limit is pretty fast and people drive even faster. And so getting from Santa Fe to Albuquerque is a very easy drive. A lot of people live in Albuquerque and work in Santa Fe. The big major airport is in Albuquerque. Santa Fe does have its own airport that they're now expanding. It kind of looks like it was built like maybe in the time when you would expect Marilyn Monroe to hop off a little plane and come down the jetway waving and smiling. There's a gate and a baggage claim and a check-in area and a bathroom and, oh, no restaurant. So they're upgrading it. One of the first things I noticed about the Santa Fe airport was you drive up, it's a gravel road, and it says short-term parking to the right, long-term parking to the left, and it's just a giant gravel lot. There are no spaces, there are no So you just kind of park wherever you feel like it. And that, for me, was one of the first introductions to kind of the attitude of Santa Fe. A little laid back. It's all good. Just be calm. Be happy. So
don't worry. No stress.
Yep, yep. Just park your car and get on into the airport. So
do you know what the population is of Santa Fe?
I happen to know that, yes. The most recent population is 88,000. There's always lots of discussion here. A significant number of people, straight, gay, otherwise, any category that you want, that have Santa Fe as a part-time place. So when they say what your population is, we're never really sure if that includes the people who live here one weekend a month or whether it's the people who live here 365 days a year. And then also during the summer, there are festivals and celebrations and lots of events going on that draw tons and tons of tourists. So I've read some estimates that on certain weekends, when some of the bigger events take place, that the population actually swells to closer to 150,000 people. So
Wow. That's,
yes, tourism is a very, very big revenue stream for Santa Fe.
Yep, understand. Been there a couple of times and I can see why. It's a beautiful place. So, okay. Now, you said it's about an hour. Is it an hour drive from Albuquerque?
Yeah.
To Santa Fe?
Yep.
And you also have a train, right?
The
Rail Runner?
The Rail Runner runs from Albuquerque up to Santa Fe. I think there are now 4 stops in Santa Fe. There are express trains that just stop at a couple places. And then there's the kind of more the commuter train that stops at every single station.
And do you think it takes about an hour as well?
I think that takes a little longer, especially if you get on one that stops at several of the places.
Like the local.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Exactly. So
okay.
Several of my coworkers actually live in Albuquerque and take the train up. There's Wi-Fi on the train, so they work on the train. They have coffee and bagel on the train or a breakfast burrito, being a little more New Mexico.
Right.
They find it a good opportunity to kind of get a jump on the day, and then as they're commuting back home to kind of unwind and do some brain work, I guess, just relaxing on
right.
the train.
And coming home, you're coming home to a beautiful, beautiful city. So tell us a little bit about the climate. What's the climate like? Are the summers hot or mid-range, dry, humid? Tell us about rainy season, if any, and how cold it gets to.
So we do have 4 seasons here, which is kind of nice. I grew up with 4 seasons, so I think that's the way it's supposed to be. They joke here that the 4 seasons are not the 4 seasons from other cities. Here it's summer, fall, winter, and then windy. The springtime can be very windy here.
Windy.
The temperatures, so Santa Fe is at 7,000 feet. So if you stop and think about Denver's the mile high city, they're at 5,000 feet. So we're 2,000 feet above them. So we have a climate that is more mountainous or more like what you would think in some of the northern Colorado areas. So the summers are not that warm. Having said that, some of the climate changes that are impacting the U.S. are impacting us here in Santa Fe also. Santa Fe has never recorded a 100-degree temperature until the last 3 years. And
oh, wow.
So there is warming. When we first moved here, everybody's like, oh my goodness, no, you don't need air conditioning. The humidity is very low. It cools off very rapidly in the evening as soon as the sun goes down. So you open up your windows, you let that wonderful, extraordinarily clean, fresh air into your house. And then the next morning around 10 o'clock, you close up your house and you keep that nice cool air in and you can kind of get by without any kind of an air conditioner. We opted to put in an evaporative cooler in our house just because we like it to be cool. The fall is stunning as you look to the north and the east where Ski Santa Fe is located and the Sangre de Cristo Mountains are right there. There's a large patch that is aspen trees. So they all kind of turn in October. One day they're green, the next day you're kind of noticing, and 47 hours later, the whole side of the mountain is just brilliant Aspen Gold. So fall is very nice. Winter, we do get snows. It's my favorite kind of snow, where it will snow a half an inch at night. And if you lollygag a little bit in the mornings, the sun will come out. The sun is very intense here at 7,000 feet. And the snow will actually melt by the time lunchtime comes around. So the whole shovel your walk and all that, you can do that, or you can just stay in the house till lunchtime and then Mother Nature does it for
you. It's gone.
Yes, yes.
I like that word, lollygag.
Lollygag.
I think that's one of the first times I've heard that word. But yeah, I love it.
Yeah.
I love it.
So we do have four seasons. I enjoy them all. It is dry here, so we do have an irrigation system for some of the plants that we keep in our courtyard, but it's really nice and refreshing. And one of the things that I never have seen advertised is in the evenings, even when it's hot, even when it's dusty, even when it's windy, you can go outside and you just inhale this fresh, fresh mountain air, and your lungs take over from your brain, and they just keep inhaling and inhaling and inhaling, and all of a sudden you're like, I have to stop inhaling, my lungs are going to explode. But it's so nice and refreshing. It's a really an amazing gift, and I've never seen that on any of the websites advertising the cool things about Santa Fe.
Beautiful, beautiful. I love that, that you can just, yeah, you could just breathe without any pollution, or
yep,
you just smell that fresh air. Oh, I love it.
Yep.
So are you in a drought? Is Santa Fe in like a drought situation
yes,
at all?
Yes, we've been in some version of drought for at least 10 years.
Do you get your water from Colorado River?
We actually get it from the Rio Grande and from the underground aquifers. So the Colorado River is too far west for us to really have much impact on us.
Okay.
Which is a good thing from what I'm reading.
Right. Yeah, because that's depleting too.
Yes.
So, all right. Is there... So you don't get a rainy season at all, just get snow?
Officially we do. It's a little bit entertaining. The first summer that we were here, the weatherman was announcing that, I don't know, 1st of July, 10th of July, something was the start of the monsoon season. And they used that word, monsoon season.
Monsoon.
Mm-hmm. And I'm looking around, I was like, monsoon? Like 14 inches of rain, like rice paddies, like water standing? No.
That's what I would think.
Yeah, exactly. And so my uneducated, not Santa Fe brain was like, it rained a half an inch. That is not a monsoon. That's a half an inch of rain. So they do say we have a monsoon season. I think it's more a definition that weatherman used. The weather patterns shift just a little bit. And in theory, in the old days, moisture and stuff would come up from the Gulf of Mexico and come over New Mexico. And then the weather patterns from the west would come across Mexico, and they would collide over Santa Fe and over New Mexico, and it would cause just amazing rains. I have been here 10 years and haven't seen that more than a handful of times, but I guess officially we do have a monsoon season, but don't run out and buy any kind of a rain jacket
rain
or any, yeah, no.
Yeah, and here in Phoenix, we do have a monsoon season. To me, and it's relative where you come from, because I come from the Northeast. I've lived in Florida for 4 years. So, I mean, you haven't experienced rain until you lived in Florida. So, to me, monsoon season, a couple of inches of rain, that's fine.
Yep.
Do you get dust storms?
Yes. Yes, especially in the spring. It's reasonably dry. The wind does kind of kick up sometimes, especially in the afternoons. You see dirt devils spinning around,
yeah,
and it does get dusty.
Okay. Sort of similar to here in Phoenix.
Exactly.
Or in Arizona.
Yeah.
So tell us, does Santa Fe have a large retirement community?
Santa Fe, in my opinion... Santa Fe has a giant retirement community, and again, not categorized by anything other than I did my job, I want to chill out, I want to enjoy eat, drinks, and art, and people move here. In our little neighborhood, I would say that 50% of the people are retired, 25% of the people are still working, but not as hard as they used to. And then 25% of the people, this is their second home. So they're kind of, I don't want to call them snowbirds, but they kind of, you know, zip in and out. And yeah, they have two homes and, oh, I'm going to spend July in London and May in Santa Fe and like that. So Santa Fe has a huge retirement community. Yes.
Excellent. Excellent. So tell us a little bit about if there is any type of LGBTQ community and how does that work within Santa Fe? Because Santa Fe is like a live and let live city. So I don't believe, tell us about the neighborhood. I don't think there's a gayborhood, so to speak. I think everything is integrated. Can you tell the audience what that's
like? Sure. Well, I came from Washington, D.C., where there is DuPont Circle. It is very concentrated with gays. You come here, the age of the gay community here is maybe a little bit older. They would much rather go to a fine restaurant and have a fine glass of wine and a wonderful meal than go to a dance club or a rave. And that kind of applies to almost everybody in Santa Fe. They're all about, ooh, let's go out and have
dinner.
I got reservations here and let's go and let's do this. And then let's be home and in bed by 10 o'clock at night. So
That's so me.
See, you fit right in. Everybody is kind of has that mentality. There is not a gay neighborhood. There is not a gay bar. I will say that every place that I have visited, it's very integrated. So you don't need a gay bar because there are gay people sitting at the table next to you and they're everywhere and no one cares. Like people are much more worried about how long does it take to get my Nick's margarita? And, oh, by the way, where are my appetizers? Then, oh, my goodness, look at the tattoo on that person. Or I think they're gay. Or like the gay conversation doesn't come up the way that it does being judgmental as it does in some of the other places I've lived.
Yeah. And you can be judgmental in other cities, too.
Yes.
So, yeah, some places I could definitely see its need for a gayborhood or gay bars, but in some towns that they're fully integrated and nobody cares is the best.
Yeah.
That's the best it could be.
To share a perspective, I've lived several places throughout my life. Some of them you just suppressed being gay, you didn't talk about it, you didn't acknowledge it. That's just the way the society was. Other places, it's okay, we don't really care, blah, blah, blah. When we moved here, our little neighborhood had a welcome to the neighborhood party. And so we went over, and it involves eating and drinking, and that's what you do here. And one of the first couples came up and hugged us and said, oh my God, we are so excited to have you in the neighborhood. And I'm like, oh, I think they mean because I'm me. And she says, we have been waiting for 10 years for gays to move into our neighborhood because that means—
The gays are here.
The gays are here. It means your neighborhood has arrived. And she goes, and I already know. And in her, this was linked. I already know because you're gay, you're going to remodel that house. You're going to put an addition on. And the property values of the whole neighborhood are going to go up. And she's exactly right, because that's what we had already been talking about was, oh, we're going to build this on, we're going to put a duo, we're going to do this, we're going to do that. So for me, it was a little bit of a mind shift that she was so thankful gays moved into the neighborhood that she was having a party. She was hosting a party to welcome us, as opposed to some of the other locations where they may have a party.
I love it.
But There was no like, oh, thank God you're gay and thank God you're here. And can you come tell me what you think about the tile in my kitchen and what about this and what about that? So
I love that, Perry.
Our neighborhood is just like beyond welcoming. I don't know what the next level is, but that little story just summarized it for me was that they were we're so excited to have you in our neighborhood.
That's great. That's exceptional. In fact, for the listening audience, I know I actually visited Perry's neighborhood at one time because we have mutual friends that live, well, they no longer live in that particular neighborhood, but they did at the time. And from what I saw, and I was not there for a long time, but it was beautiful. It looked beautiful too.
It is. It is. I feel very honored and privileged to live where we live.
And it seemed very safe and kind of nestled in one area.
Yep.
Just loved it.
Yep.
The views too. The views were spectacular.
Yes.
That's what I remember from the backyard.
Yep.
They were unbelievable.
When we decided to buy a house here, we did the mental work and came up with this is how much we're going to spend and how many bedrooms, how many bathrooms, that kind of stuff. And we literally had been watching the house up on the hill in this neighborhood for over a year, and the price kept coming down and coming down and coming down. We're like, oh. We had flown out here with the idea that we were going to go check out this house one more time. We did that on Friday. We got up, thought about it on Friday night, decided we were going to make an offer, but we wanted to go in and measure the size of the third bedroom. And I am air quoting the word bedroom because I've seen bathrooms bigger than this bedroom. So will a bed even fit in there? Is this going to be an office like that? So we're standing in this room, we're measuring and we're talking and, oh, we could do this and do this. And our real estate agent is with us. And and then one more, oh, and he's like, guys, they accepted an offer last night. The house is off the market. And we're like, what? What? We've been watching this house.
I know what that feels like.
423 days and blah, 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 blah. As irony would have it, that house was two houses away from the house that we ended up buying. The house that we ended up buying cost more, and it was right above what we had drawn a line in the sand. This is how much we're going to spend. But this house, the one that we ended up buying, to get back to your point about the views, was strategically built on this 2.5-acre lot with picture windows that look so you can see all three of the mountain ranges. Every room has a picture, has a view of a mountain range. And we said, oh, that house is too expensive. We spent the next year literally looking at more houses. And every house we came up with was, wow, the kitchen is great. Oh, boring views. Oh, what about... And finally, one day, a little light just went off and it was like, ding, ding, ding. If you keep coming back to the house with the views, and that's what we called it, the house with the views.
With the views.
We should buy the house with the views. Like, that's the stumbling block.
Yeah.
And so we did. And money, blah, 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 blah. I am thankful every single day that we ended up getting the house that we bought. Yes, it cost more. And the irony of this is that the people that bought the house that we wanted to buy the house that we bought. So this is a bigger house. They have three kids. They don't care as much about some of the stuff. So we laugh all the time that they're living in our house and we're living in their house.
Their house.
And we're just best friends now, and we socialize all the time.
That's great.
Yes.
But you got the house with the views.
That's the house
that's
with
what
the
matters.
Views. Yes. Sometimes I stand at the kitchen window and I'm looking at the center of the Sangre de Cristo Mountains. And I'm supposed to be washing dishes, and I'm literally just standing there, not moving my hands, just looking at Mother Nature. And she's got some clouds over here and the sunset over here and some snow on the mountains. And you can see Ski Santa Fe from my kitchen window. And, oh, lots of snow up there. I bet people are skiing today. And the aspens change. And so the views here, if you're a visual person at all, the views here count.
Yeah, they're gorgeous. So, okay. Does Santa Fe have their own Pride Festival, or do you have to go to Albuquerque?
We do, because there's a pretty large percentage of gay people in Santa Fe, and this was a few years ago. Santa Fe ranked third for the number of gay couples per capita in the country. So it is a small town, so if you just look at the volume, no, there is not 1 million gay couples in Santa Fe, but oh my God, there's like, according to this, it was like 24% or something. I'm like, okay, that kind of makes
sense.
That's huge. Yeah. And again, they're a little bit more mature and a little more life experience. So we do have a gay pride event. It's extremely well participated in. The mayor kicks it off, and there's floats and bands and questionable dance groups and it's very fun. The organization that I work for is a healthcare providing organization here in Santa Fe. And they always are very big contributors, and that's a big thing. We usually have some version of a float or a van or convertible parade and give out. We call Pride beads, which we totally just bought them from Amazon as Mardi Gras beads, but we just renamed them. And it's usually in June or July. We give away popsicles, and it's very family oriented. So it's not just about the gays. There's tons of people with their kids, and people bring their pets, and it's very fun. The police really do a good job of keeping people off the streets because we're meandering through some neighborhoods and up around the plaza and starts at the Capitol, and very festive, just exactly what you would think as a gay pride event. And then there are booths all along the plaza, information, any kind of health testing, gay real estate agents, gay doctors, gay everything, kind of putting their name out. So we have an amazing gay pride festival for what I call a town of this size.
That's great. Let's talk about a little bit about the gay community itself. So since you don't have gay bars, what kind of groups would bring the community together, the LGBTQ community? Like, you have meetup groups, Friends of Dorothy. Explain to our audience a little bit about that and how that works.
There are tons of social groups, and they're not necessarily like exclusively gay because the town is so integrated. So it's a lot of them are meetups, and let's go salsa dancing at the salsa place. Let's go see this performance, the Lensic Theater, which is downtown Santa Fe. Get some pretty name brand, big name people, and it's not just concert. It's performances. It's lots of cultural things. We also have the Santa Fe Opera. If you are an opera buff, I'm going to say you probably have already heard of the Santa Fe Opera. It's one of the most stunning buildings or venues. It's kind of like a back wall and a roof and a stage, and then three walls are open. So as you sit there watching the opera, Mother Nature paints this extraordinary sunset view of what's going on. World-renowned opera performers come because our opera season is in the summer when a lot of the other operas are not in season. And tailgating here is the biggest. We don't have a football team, so we tailgate for the opera. And when I say tailgate, it is not a keg of beer, and it's not a grill with some burgers on it. It's a table with white linen tablecloth and napkins and candelabras and champagne and people way.
Of course it is.
They go so out of control. The first time that we went and tailgated, our neighborhood went as a group, and there were 12 of us that went. And one of the couples has season tickets for life, and they can say, oh no, that was from, they know every opera and every performance, and so they know it all, but they're nice about it. They're not, you know, snobby about it. And they're like, no, we're gonna tailgate, and then here, you bring this and this. And our job was to bring a bottle of good champagne and a charcuterie tray. Enough for 12. And so we get there. We don't really know what to expect. And we had talked to some of the other neighbors who also are not opera aficionados. And we get there. And they have the back of their SUV just packed. And they've done this way before because in 4 minutes, they had all these tables out. White tablecloths on all these folding tables. Candelabras going down the middle. Real plates, real silverware. They had this little thing in the back of their SUV to keep the champagne cold because everybody was to bring a bottle of champagne. I didn't know we were having 6 bottles of champagne for tailgating. Ladies wear gowns. Men wear tuxedos. Not everybody. It's a mix, but it was such an extraordinary way. The sun was going down. Sunset colors are all over here. The temperature is cooling off. It was fun. You're literally sitting in a parking lot. But
that's crazy.
It's fun. So if you're...
It sounds like it. It sounds like my type of tailgating.
Yes.
Because I'm not the typical beer and...
Yep. So even if you don't like opera,
Right. It's an experience
tailgating. Yes. One of my friends who actually lives up in Colorado Springs and visits Santa Fe very frequently, she's like, we've been doing this for 12 years and we've never been to the opera. Do you think we should go? And I was like, absolutely. Like, go. And so then
just for the tailgating, go.
Yes. And she was so blown away. She was like, the facility itself is amazing. Closed captioning, big comfortable seats, and fresh air everywhere. The back of the stage is open, so you literally see the mountains over there with the sunset going down. And she's like, I am so pissed off that we dinked around, we lollygagged for 12 years. We could have been
lollygagged. There it goes.
Doing this for 12 years. So yep. So this summer
they lollygagged for 12 years.
Yep. She's just like, opera. That sounds kind of not my speed. She goes, I don't speak any other language, blah, blah, blah. Don't need to. So
just enjoy it.
Just enjoy. Just go and enjoy.
And one thing I have noticed in all of New Mexico, I have never seen blue skies as blue as they are in New Mexico. I guess it depends maybe where you are, but it, just absolutely beautiful.
Part of it is being at 7,000 feet. We have a lot less crud between our eyes and the sun, our eyes and the sky. And I agree. It's some mornings I let the dogs out. I'm supposed to be paying attention to the dogs. And I look up, I'm like, my God, I don't even know how this could be any brighter and more vivid.
Right.
And wow, Mother Nature just really,
it's
really
breathtaking.
Does. Yes. Yes, exactly.
Yep. And you're like, wow, does this exist or am I in a dream? Pinch me.
Yes, yes. And humidity is low and we really don't have any pollution generating places anywhere to the west of us.
Or bugs.
Yes, yes.
That's another plus. Maybe a couple of snakes here and there.
Yep.
Or a scorpion.
I've lived here for years and years and years. Knock on wood, I have never actually seen a scorpion. I mean, on my property or around anywhere, I hear stories and all like that. Snakes, yes. We have bull snakes and we have something called a red racer. They're very into keeping the mice and the... We have little
rodent and insect
exactly.
population at bay.
Exactly.
Yep, they
exactly.
do their job.
Yep, yep.
Yep, I can deal with that as long as the mosquitoes are not biting me and they love me.
Yeah, me too. When I lived in D.C., I used to call it the icky 100 days of summer because there were so many mosquitoes
yep.
that I literally would hold my breath and run from the front door out to the car parked on the curb and hope I didn't get more than 3 mosquito bites while I was doing a 100-yard dash.
That's like me.
Yep.
Barry, that's because we're so sweet.
Exactly.
We are. We're the sweetest blood. We have the sweetest blood.
So we moved here. We don't even have screen doors on our house. We buy these little screen on a tension pole, and we leave the door open a lot in the spring and the fall, which the dogs love because whichever side of the door they're on, they want to be on the other.
Yep.
And we actually now like, I think that was a mosquito. I swatted. I think I saw a mosquito this month.
Oh, love it.
Yeah.
I love that. That's like, it's similar to here in Phoenix. We do have them, but there's no way they don't attack me as much as they do in Florida.
Yeah, no. And DC was the same way. Lots and lots of mosquitoes.
Yep, and New York.
I don't even have mosquito repellent now to spray on my body, like those toxic
Neither
chemicals.
I don't even,
I think we moved here with some 10 years ago. I'm pretty sure it dried up and I threw it away, so...
That's how we used to go out to restaurants or go out for the day. If I didn't have it on me, I would have to remember to bring a dryer sheet and keep that in my pocket because that kind of, they said it repels, I guess it would repel anything because it has that scent on it. So I used to keep that. And if I forget my dryer sheet, I ask a restaurant person, do you have a dryer sheet? And they're like looking at me like, what are you, crazy? but anyway, yeah. So tell us about Santa Fe's local economy. Can you provide us some examples maybe of if you were to rent a place, a two-bedroom apartment or house versus purchasing, what does the prices look like? I know it could be all over the place as well. And how about utilities too?
So I guess housing prices and rental prices are all relative depending on where you came from. So we moved here from Northwest DC. I think things are a bargain here. Absolutely a bargain coming from the East Coast, coming from DC. I can tell you that people who come from other places think, oh, Santa Fe is really expensive. And compared to the rest of the state, it is more expensive. And the housing prices are all over the place. It depends on what you want. Santa Fe has started realized at one point that they were kind of pricing themselves so high, the demand was higher than the number of houses, that for like normal working kind of people, they were getting priced out of the housing market. And so a lot of people were moving to the northern suburbs of Albuquerque because it is probably 30% cheaper to rent an apartment or buy a house there and then just hop on this interstate and zip up here or take the train and come up here and work. And that still is somewhat in place. Santa Fe has, in the last, I'm going to say, 3 or 4 or 5 years, acknowledged that, wow, if you want people to come here and work as dental hygienists and pharmacy technicians and waiters and they have to have a place to live. Santa Fe has, the city itself, has a very progressive minimum wage. Like the city sets what the minimum wage is, and it's way above the national average. It used to, for a while, go back and forth between San Francisco would raise their minimum wage, then Santa Fe would raise their minimum wage, then San Francisco. So minimum wage here is pretty respectful, but the housing market is a little bit of a challenge. Over the past several years, they have really started expanding and building on the south side of Santa Fe. And that's partly because on the east side is a national forest, so there's no more land to build on. On the north side is Isuki Pueblo, so that's Indian land, so you can't build on that. So the only place to really expand is kind of south and west. And they have started doing some lower income or moderate income, I think it's a better descriptor, houses and townhouses and communities and schools, and really trying to focus on getting not just the affluent people who can afford $1 million homes, but what about people who are going to like drive,
work here,
work and pay taxes? Yes.
Right.
Our
yeah.
economy... Santa Fe is the capital of New Mexico, so there's a big portion that is state-funded or state-run. And then Santa Fe itself, we get the majority of our money comes from selling art during tourist season and the restaurants and the eats and the drinks and all like that. It's almost like a cruise ship in reverse. You think of being on a cruise ship and then you dock at Ketchikan and the whole ship goes in and buys souvenirs. And then you get back on the ship and go to the next town. That's kind of what happens here, except it's just people coming in for all these festivals. And there's the wine and chili festival, and there's the wine and chili and chocolate festival. And those are kind of, in my opinion, manufactured events. But then there are also Indian market and is just huge. The whole town goes crazy, and the quality of the art is astounding. Santa Fe continues to be ranked in the top five as far as the art markets in the United States, and they're all big cities. It's Los Angeles, it's San Francisco, it's New York. Oh yeah, and Santa Fe.
Santa Fe.
Yeah, little tiny Santa Fe. So that's our economy is driven a lot by tourism. So we always say, oh, we don't mind the turistas, but we love the dollars that they leave behind. So that's a piece of it. And Santa Fe is very focused on expanding that and making that better and kind of continuing that.
So home prices could be pretty much all over the place, anywhere from what, $500,000 to millions?
Yes, Yes, and maybe a little bit on the lower end, depending on what you're looking for. There are some townhouse communities that are going up now. Santa Fe has a regulation where a certain percent, when you buy a parcel of land and you're going to put in 130 houses or townhouses, a certain percent of those have to be affordable housing. And so the prices are kind of dictated. There are, of course, some ways to manipulate that system, but that's something that has taken place since I've moved here, because before it was, oh, you want to buy 5 acres and put one house on there for $5 million? Knock yourself out. Now they're trying to kind of, that still exists, definitely, but they're also trying to acknowledge now that young people, first home, you can't have a $5 million home as your starter house. Like, that just doesn't work. So,
right.
Gotcha. How about utilities? So since you don't have electricity, I mean, you have electricity, but since you don't use really an air conditioner and you use an evaporative cooler, I would suspect that electric prices might be a little bit lower than normal.
The house that we had in Washington, D.C. was very big. I'm going to say our electric bill is 1/3 of what the electric bill was in Washington, D.C. We actually live on the west edge of town outside of the official city limits, so we have a well. So we don't have a water bill. We do have gas also. And so in the winter, the gas bill goes up and the electric bill goes down. In the summer, it's kind of the other way around. Compared to where we came from, I think this is not very expensive at all.
Excellent. Excellent. Tell us again, I know we talked a little bit about the arts and culture scene. But yeah, that's what Santa Fe is pretty known for, is their ginormous arts and culture scene. Tell us a little bit more about that, the museums. Was it Georgia O'Keeffe?
Georgia O'Keeffe Museum is here. It's absolutely, sometimes you have to wait to get tickets because they limit the number of people that come in at any given time. The last time I was there, Georgia O'Keeffe was an associate, a companion artist, whatever you want to say, to Ansel Adams. And so they had a show that was his work and her work, and then a photo of what they were looking at, of the inspiration. It was absolutely stunning. It was so interesting to see, here's a black and white photographer, here's his take on this, here's a kind of wild and crazy painter, this is her take on it. And you really appreciated the artistic creativity of both of these artists on how they address this. Every time I go to the Georgia O'Keeffe Museum, I'm inspired. The more you learn about her, the more you... She was a trendsetter. She was way ahead of her time. There are all kinds of Native American museums. There's a New Mexico Natural History Museum that goes into all kinds of the Pueblos and the people who lived here before. So that's kind of the museum piece. On the art side, it is literally the complete spectrum. You can go onto Canyon Road, which I believe is 1.4 miles where there's nothing but art galleries on both sides of the road. And when I say nothing but, of course there's a little shop here where you can get a coffee and a scone, and there's a little sandwich restaurant here. But essentially, it's a really old road. It just winds right next to the Santa Fe River. It used to be where the poor people and the maids for the expensive people, that's where they lived. Little tiny houses, then those damn artists moved in because it was cheap to live there. And then, and then. So you can go onto Canyon Road, world-class art. Like I always say, when you pull onto Canyon Road, like Gabriel, the angel, blares his trumpets, da-da-da, you have arrived at the center of the art universe. I love just going, and you just walk. So it's a little tiny street. Very few people drive on the street. They have events. Now they're calling them Last Friday instead of First Fridays, Last Fridays.
First Friday.
And they open this up. A lot of the galleries then literally throw open their front doors, put a little table out, got a little glass of white wine, some music playing. You come in. A lot of them have the artists then on site. So you get to meet the artist and talk about the inspiration and what about this and what about that. And then you take your wine and you go and you cross the street and you go to the next museum or the next gallery and you see them. It's amazing. But that's very high-end art. Like, every time I go there, I'm like, wow, I would love that. I would love that. But wow, I think I paid less than that for my last car.
It's expensive.
Yes. So that right. is not impulse buying.
Right.
Downtown, there are tons and tons of galleries, less famous, less expensive.
That's why they give you wine too.
Exactly. Exactly. Oh, and here's
loosen you up.
Here's a little brownie. Here's a little sugar. Yeah. Okay. You got alcohol and sugar. Don't you want to, for only $35,000, you could have this. You can
yes.
take it home.
Yes.
When you go downtown, there are tons of galleries all around the plaza for probably three blocks in any direction. Also, outstanding artists, less expensive. And then on the weekends, there's the Santa Fe Artists Guild, and they literally set up tents in a parking lot and got a folding table, and here's three of my paintings and two of my weavings. And so it's kind of the whole spectrum of art. And I probably a year ago fell in love with this painting, a watercolor painting that this lady had done. And I literally spent $10 on the painting and spent over $100 framing and matting it. But for $10, that's what I kept, it's $10.
Right.
And then you do it upright and it looks like, ooh, that's a beautiful piece. How much did you spend for that? $9.99. Yeah. So all spectrums. I guess I would give a shout out also. A lot of the restaurants have art galleries where one of the waitresses or waiters or the chef is an artist also. And so their work is on display in those restaurants. So I think that's very, very cool. One of the things that the pottery, the Native American pottery that is literally done within miles of here is stellar. And there's a pottery store downtown where they actually track the provenance and they know the artists and they guarantee that this wasn't made in Thailand and then put, oh, look, made in Santa Fe, scratched on the bottom and sent over here. So you know that you're actually getting what they're saying it is.
Authentic.
Authentic, yes. And they really pride themselves on that. You go into most stores and the stuff is all out and we'll pick it up and all that. And when you go into this particular pottery store, there's a sign about every 3 feet that says, do not touch. If you're interested, ask someone to help you. And the people there are amazing and nice, and they do want to sell you pottery. So they are there to help you and entice you. But the fact that they can give you the provenance and the history and where this came from, and, oh, this artist is actually the grandson of so-and-so who is world famous, and he makes his pottery in the same building that she made her pottery in, and so you get some flavor, some more flavor mm-hmm. that you don't get if you just look at pictures of pottery on the internet.
Right. Awesome. I think out of all the places I've been to, I think Santa Fe has the best arts and culture of any city that I've been to.
Yeah. You can.
I mean, New York is great for as far as museums and art and culture as well, but Santa Fe is special.
Yes.
In its own way.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just special.
The energy and kind of the focus, I guess, captured me. Like, after I came and visited several times, I was just like, why would I want to live anywhere else? Like, hello, I don't have to scoop snow. There's no mosquitoes. There's amazing food. And everywhere I look, there's ta-da, art.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's art, culture, and people say it's very spiritual.
It is very spiritual. Like, there is definitely a component to that.
Can you add to that a little bit and tell us a little bit of
sure,
what that
sure.
means?
So my husband is less focused on the energy of Santa Fe. This is, for me, a town where karma is right on the front burner. Like, you if you do something shitty, Santa Fe will get back at you.
Shitty
quickly.
It back to you.
Shitty it right back to you. Yes, yes. So I am a nice person. When we first started coming here, I was blown away and sometimes literally speechless standing in the store at how nice and sincere people are here. Just really welcoming, really amazing. The spirituality part comes in. Everyone here is a little more aware of Mother Nature, of the people who lived here before you, of kind of the camaraderie or the commonality that comes from just all these different cultures. There's people from Mexico, there are Native Americans, there are Spanish, there are everybody. My grandpa was this, my grandma was this, and so there's this blend here, and all of the communities kind of interact. You don't, I think just because people have been here for 400 years, it's the oldest capital city in the United States. We had our 400th centennial a few years ago, and the King and Queen of Spain came over, and it was many, many days of celebrating many, many things. But for me, the spirituality is that you can't live here and not appreciate Mother Nature and what she does and how that impacts your attitude. And I guess for me, that's the energy, that's the spiritual piece of it, is I can't stand at that kitchen window and look at just an amazing sunrise or amazing sunset and not say, wow, this is going to be a great day, and all I got on is a house coat and my slippers, and I'm still having my first cup of coffee, and I'm already like, what a great day this is going to be.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That is awesome.
Yeah.
Good for you. Yeah, it's an amazing place. It's an amazing place. It is. So tell us about the foodie scene. I know I've been to Santa Fe again, I said a couple of times, and every time I went, the restaurants were amazing.
Yes.
Tell us a little bit about that.
So kind of like the art scene, the food scene here is the full spectrum also. Like, we have James Beard winners all over the place. And actually this year, one of the people that's nominated for a James Beard Award is a taco truck. A taco truck. There's,
wow.
They don't even have a picnic table. It's a taco truck. But it's amazing. People literally will stand in line for two blocks to go and get a taco from this taco truck.
Believable.
So that's kind of the less expensive end of the food. On the other end of that spectrum, of course, is Geronimo's and Coyote Cafe. Those are two of the landmarks, I guess, in Santa Fe. I've gone there to both of them many, many times. The food is stellar. It's just always so well done. Both of them are very dramatic visually when you come into the restaurant. It's what you would expect from a super duper restaurant. It is expensive, but it's an amazing place if you're celebrating a birthday or an anniversary or something like that.
So Geronimo sounds familiar. I'm not sure if I was there, but it does sound familiar.
Yes. Yeah. It's been here through different incarnations for a long, 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 long time. So those are kind of the high-end ones. There are tons that are just really, if they weren't in Santa Fe, they may be the best restaurant in town. But because they're in Santa Fe, they may not even make the top level, the top cut.
Oh.
Just amazing. Of course, during the summer, the locals have a hard time getting reservations at those restaurants because we have all these tourists here, and I'm A-okay with that, because then in the winter, the local restaurants are always like, please, locals, come, if you have a Santa Fe address, we'll give you free drinks, we'll give you free appetizers, we'll do all this kind of stuff. So I just kind of am completely comfortable with May, June, July, August. We probably aren't going to really go to a high-end restaurant, but December, January, February, yep, that's the time that's when we get to enjoy it. No, there is a.
And is it international cuisine?
Tons of it is. Tons of it is. Yes, I would say Italian, French, certainly Spanish. We have some tapas bars. One of my favorite places is they serve nothing but tapas and flamenco dancing. Mm-hmm. And so if you have,
oh wow, you feel like you're in Spain.
If you haven't sat ringside or stage side and watched flamenco dancers as you're sipping your wine and having your tapas, that's an experience that I have never had in any other city in the United States.
Wow, I wouldn't think so. I didn't even think you could see a flamenco dance in the United States.
Yeah, it's the oldest flamenco company in the they say in North America, I'm not 100% sure about that, is here in Santa Fe. And it's there are three different troops, and there's all kinds of competition, and it's almost like Flamenco Super Bowl, like who's the best. And when you watch them, they're intense. They're just intense. And the footwork and the handwork, you don't appreciate it as much when you're watching it on a video. But when you are there, they are working their behind off.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. So those are some things. There are tons of food trucks here. Like, I know that's kind of an emerging thing in the United States. Certainly here also. And one of my favorite inexpensive, fun places is Bumblebee's Baja Taco. And right above you, there's a drive up, and right above their drive up menu, it says slowest drive up in Santa Fe. We make your food fresh. No, we're not in a hurry. And that's exactly like they advertise that. Nope. Slowest drive up
right.
in Santa
we're not,
Fe.
Not, That's funny.
And you go in and it's kind of decorated a little kitschy. Bumblebee is the theme. So there's all these Bumblebee pinatas hanging down from the ceiling. And
cool.
Yeah. And you go up in order, and then they like give you a number, and then they holler 45. And then you go up and get your food. And it's just fun.
Yep. Now I'm hungry.
There you go.
Then again, I'm always hungry. So does Santa Fe, I mean, does it have any public transportation? And is there any traffic? Tell us a little bit about that and the accessibility. So you would go to the airport, you'd go to Albuquerque. So that takes about an hour.
I actually prefer to fly out of the Santa Fe airport.
Okay.
It's 11 minutes away. The Santa Fe airport currently has flights to Dallas, Denver, and Phoenix.
Okay.
So those are major hubs to connect anywhere.
Wow, I can fly from Phoenix to Santa Fe?
You sure can. Sure can.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Good to know.
Yep. So that's the air transportation. I just find it, you park your car all day at the Santa Fe airport for $3. Like, hello. Like, you can't even buy a cup of coffee for $3.
For $3,
yeah. So I think that's great. It's convenient. It's easy. And then when you land and you get your luggage from the luggage check, the one.
Right.
And I'll...
Gate A?
Yeah, it's just the gate. There's not even an A, B.
The gate.
The gate.
Right. The gate. The carousel.
Yeah. No, not even a carousel. It's a long line. And there's a plastic sheet hanging on the side of the building. And you see the human out there pulling stuff off the little carts, putting them on the little rails, and shoving them into the building. It is absolutely priceless. Absolutely priceless. Yeah, it's perfect. There are two different bus systems in Santa Fe. Stops, you can buy like a weekend pass or a week pass and jump on they're the blue buses. And they're kind of like just big vans, and they just stop everywhere. And so you just have this pass, and you get on wherever you want, and you say, oh my God, look, an ice cream store. We have to stop and have ice cream. You just get off and go get your ice cream and hang out, and then get back on the bus and kind of go around. There are actually then bigger buses that will take you to other places. My lifestyle is that usually if I'm going to go do something, I get in my car and I drive there and park at one of the public parking facilities and just kind of do my own thing. So I'm not a real well-informed expert on the bus system.
Yeah.
But it is there. I see them all the time. If you're a veteran, you ride for free. They have all kinds of days, like appreciation days. So you know, the 10th of the month may be Nurses Day. And if you have your work badge and it says you're a nurse, you ride for free and kind of some things like that. A lot of the big hotels also have shuttles that take you. Oh, you want to go to Canyon Road? Psh, we'll go.
Is there much car traffic?
So this would be a relative question. I came here from D.C. You can get anywhere in town in about 14 minutes. I think it's a little slice of heaven. The locals, the people, oh my goodness, I remember when St. Francis only had one stoplight. Now there's so much traffic. And I'm like,
it is relative.
It is totally relative. So depending on where you come from.
Right.
But I'm telling you, I can drive from my house to work in 14 dang minutes. And
yeah, and that's not bad at all.
No, no. I have never once thought, oh my God, I hope I should have stopped and got gas because I only have a half a tank of gas. And what if I get stopped on the beltway? Oh, wait, we don't have a beltway. Just some of the mindset from Washington, D.C. You always had to have water. You always had to have a urinal. You always had to have gas. You had to be, and you're always stuck on the beltway for an hour. And here, no, you're like, get in the car, turn up the music, roll down the windows, drive around. Oh, look at that dog in that car over there. Oh, Santa Fe is very into pets also.
Oh, good to know.
Lots of dog parks, lots of dog walking trails, lots of tons and tons of people walking trails. So if you're into trail walking at all, this is an extraordinary place. There are bike lanes on most of the roads, like reserve for bikes, give bikes room, do this, do that. So I think those are all very, very big pros for Santa Fe.
Great. Tell the audience about the crime situation. Is there any particular, is there crime in Santa Fe?
Of course there is. Like, welcome to the United States. Santa Fe, I will say, is a little bit of a bubble. Most people who live in Santa Fe don't go to Albuquerque that often. I don't want to bash Albuquerque, but they seem to be having significantly more crime. Crime here is like burglaries. Like, you, this is your second home and you don't live here all the time, and somebody breaks in and steals your Picasso.
Or they, crime of opportunity.
Crime of opportunity. There are some... crime is so infrequent that when there is crime, it's a big thing in the newspaper. It's a big thing. It's a big story. I've lived in places where it was more like a list. So here are the 7 murders in the last 24 hours or something like that. No. Here
right.
it's... someone sprayed a naughty word on a parking meter at the corner of blah, 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 and blah, blah, blah.
I could deal with that.
Yep, yep. What makes...
I could deal with that. No drive-by shootings, no mass shootings.
And the closer you get to Albuquerque, the closer you get kind of to some of the smaller rural towns. They seem to be a little rougher, a little... People are just a little more chill here. Like...
Yeah,
I would shoot you, but that would mean I have to put down my glass of wine. So I'm not going to shoot you because this wine is good.
I love that. Right.
As you say, the things that make the news if there is an animal that comes down out of the forest, out of the mountains. Ooh, there was a bear spotted. And then, whoa. And like, he's just like walking along. No blood, no attack. Just, there was a bear downtown. Oh my God.
And that makes the news.
Yeah, that makes the news. And then what are we going to do? We have to capture him and feed him. And Santa Fe gets all into their animals. So then it's...
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Save the animals.
Save the animals. Yep.
Yep. Is there a big homeless population or any, so to speak?
There is. I don't know how big it is compared to other places. There is a homeless population here. More so in the summer than in the winter. I think in the winter, they kind of migrate a little further south because it does get at 7,000 feet. The nights get pretty cool here.
Yep.
There are a significant number of organizations that are really trying to figure it out and do something creative and help take care of these people. There are outreach organizations all over. There are shelters. There's a large tract of land kind of in the center of Santa Fe that they have been trying to decide what to do with. It used to be a college, and then that kind of faltered, and then some plans, and those plans fell through, and then. And they're using that temporarily as some housing. There's actually an organization here that focuses on getting food for pets of homeless people.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah. A very cool group. Like, boy, dogs really can do some amazing things for helping homeless people and loyalty and love and all that. But
sure.
But we want to make sure they're healthy.
Get fed.
Yeah, yeah. So several of the veterinarians here will see your dog if you're homeless. And I don't know the details on how you qualify and
homeless.
You get an ID. Yeah, oh, I'm homeless. My dog gets to be seen for free. A lot of the veterinarians and see that group of pets for free. Tons of people donate food and try to help take care of the pets of the homeless people. Homeless
That's
people
excellent.
Too, but Santa Fe does one level more.
Step further.
Yep, exactly.
Yeah, that's a great idea. I've never heard of that before, so that's really good that they do that.
I try to holler around for our loved furry friends. Yeah, I try to holler around breakfast bars and like the little bags of dog food, so that if I see somebody, the human gets a couple of breakfast bars and the dog gets a little like 1 pound bag of kibble. So
yeah, there you go. Excellent. Perry, tell us about the healthcare. Do you have hospitals in Santa Fe? Do you have to travel to Albuquerque? Do you have enough physicians to the population? Is there long waits? So on and so forth.
Gotcha. Great question. To right off the bat, for many years, there was one regional hospital here, Christus St. Vincent. 8 or 9 years ago, one of the large hospital chains out of Albuquerque came up here and built and opened another hospital. That's Presbyterian. The concept of competition has made both of them better. So that's a very good thing for us. The original hospital has really stepped up their game. When you're the only game in town, do we need a cancer center? Yeah, maybe, but mañana.
And then
somebody else came to town. And
now they opened up one.
And then the state says, we're going to give them some money to do. Oh, you're giving them money? Well, we want to do that too. And so I think that the healthcare has improved. The accessibility to healthcare has improved here in Santa Fe. As a gay man, one of the things when we were looking to move out of D.C., we had several cities that were potential new homes. And one of the things we were concerned about moving to Santa Fe was, God, we're like, at some point, we're going to be old gay men. What the heck? We were used to seeing gay doctors. We're used to all that. And I don't know what's going on there. There's an organization, and I will preface this by saying it's the organization that I have worked at for the last 5 years, called Southwest Care. And it was originally established way back in the very beginning of the AIDS epidemic by two physicians here in Santa Fe that said, Santa Fe has a lot of older gay men. We have a disproportionate HIV rate, and there's no one addressing this. So they stepped up and they started this clinic. They did an extraordinary job for a little tiny town of addressing that health concern. The organization has now grown. There are 1, 2, 3 clinics in Santa Fe. There's a clinic in Albuquerque, all the things that go along with that. So in the last 25 years, it's gone from literally a two-person operation with 1 or 2 little tiny rooms, AZT or nothing, and now, as the treatment of HIV has evolved and the medications have evolved, now old people are starting to have heart attacks. So it's not just about treating HIV. It's about treating the whole person as you mature. And so Southwest Care has done an amazing job of that. When we were looking, this clinic was the only person who had an HIV certified physician in the entire state of New Mexico.
Wow.
So that was like, wow, we could get good healthcare here in Santa Fe. And I'm pleased that the whole, as the organization has evolved, they have really focused now on treating the whole patient. We see tons of people who are not gay. It is now a major player for healthcare in Santa Fe. To answer your question about getting enough doctors, there are not enough doctors in the United States. So with that as a backdrop, do we have enough doctors? The answer is no. Does anyone in Santa Fe have enough doctors? The answer is no. Like everywhere that I talk to people, there are challenges around seeing a doctor, seeing a nurse practitioner, seeing this, seeing that. So there's a national trend that's affecting the baseline. The other challenge, and I find this somewhat entertaining, is Santa Fe attracts a more mature audience. And so the doctors come here and then they're like, dang, I'm 65. I'm going to go part-time. Oh, no, don't see patients on Friday. Oh, no, can't do it on Monday.
Right.
Oh, Oh, I can't do it this month because I'm going to Portugal for 3 weeks. Oh, what about this? What about that? So there is a challenge. I don't know how much of it is Santa Fe specific and how much is just the baseline of healthcare in the United States.
National.
Yeah.
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 Understood. Understood. Excellent. Thank you for giving us, letting us know about that. That's really important when it comes to retirement. So what do you wish that you had in Santa Fe that you don't have and that you might have had elsewhere?
I was thinking about that, and I'm really kind of struggling to come up with anything. I wish it would rain here a little more frequently,
okay.
But that's not a thing that the city council is going to fix. I don't really have a lot of wishes. I have access to an airport that half the time when you fly out of Albuquerque, you go somewhere and change planes and get on a plane and get to your final destination.
Yep.
So that piece is fine. I'm not a big user of the bus or the train. We have some amazing grocery stores. We have, when I moved here from Washington, D.C., we had a tendency to shop at Whole Foods. I don't mean to plug them. That's just kind of what we did.
Right.
And we moved to Santa Fe. We came to Santa Fe, and I was like, wow, the Whole Foods in Santa Fe is killer. Oh, my God, it's amazing. It's way better than the one we have at home. I was like, oh, okay, so grocery stores. Okay, I guess that's good. And so I don't feel like I'm shorted on anything. I don't feel like I'm slighted. I wish my mom was here and would make me a rhubarb pie more frequently than she does. But again, that's her answer is, well, get your behind on a plane and come home and I'll make you a rhubarb pie.
Right. All right. What advice would you give to our audience, listening audience, if they're looking to retire in Santa Fe?
I would share the same advice that we kind of came up with for ourselves. You're thinking about coming here. Don't just come here for 3 days in July and make a snap decision.
Right.
What we tried to do was come here all four seasons and not stay in the high-end hotels where room service will bring you your coffee and your omelet. Do a vacation rental by owner. There's a ton of them here. And get out and experience Santa Fe. Yes,
right.
It's windy in the spring. You need to see if that's a downer for you. Don't just go to a Starbucks. Go investigate Java Joe's. Go here, go there. Talk to the locals. Experience what Santa Fe has to offer. And that's, if you want to stay in a nice hotel, there are certainly many superb hotels that will cater and meet your every need. You don't even have to leave your room. But why would you come to Santa Fe to stay in a hotel room?
Exactly.
Get out there. We came here, tried to come here every 2 months for about a year and a half and figure out, well, oh, I don't want to live
everything.
In that part of town. Oh my God. One of my first experiences, we came on in the first week of January, and we came from Washington, D.C. It had been cold and damp and gray in Washington, D.C. for at least a month. And we came here, and the sky was Santa Fe blue, and it was probably 30 or 40 degrees warmer than in Washington, D.C. And we walked from where we were staying to this amazing restaurant, and it wasn't that busy. It was January and the waiter was fun and the food was amazing. We walked back from the restaurant. One of the things that a lot of people do here is they burn pinon wood in their fireplaces. Fireplaces are still a thing here, both for the heat, but also
the
for
kiva.
The atmosphere. The kiva. Exactly. Exactly. But that pinon wood has a very distinct aroma. And so you're walking along and I
can smell it now.
Yeah. And my jacket is flipped over my shoulder because it's so warm. And I just had an amazing meal. And you try things like you look on the menu like, I have no idea what this is. Oh, then I better order it. So come and experience Santa Fe. And there's just such a wide spectrum of food and eats and drinks and art. And you can't
all the good stuff.
You can't take it in 3 days. You just can't.
Right. Just spend some time.
Yep.
Well, Thank you, Perry. Thank you so much for your time. We appreciate it. It was a great conversation. I loved learning about Santa Fe. And thank you so much for sharing all of your experiences with the audience. It's just wonderful. Thank you so much. I enjoyed it very, very much.
Excellent. Thank you for having me. I love being an ambassador for Santa Fe. I just think it's a really, really special place. And it attracts really special people. And I'm just thankful that I stumbled onto it and that we were able to make things happen and that I got to move in and live here and experience this for 10 years.
Thank you so much for sharing. We'll talk soon. We'll be in touch.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to the Where Do Gays Retire podcast. If you enjoyed today's episode, please subscribe to our podcast and consider making a donation by clicking the coffee cup on any page at www.wheredogaysretire.com. Each cup of coffee that you buy costs $5 and goes towards helping us continue the podcast. Thank you for your continued support.